Meanwhile, in other news, this is the news, according to me. Not sure I like the way that music pops in there. It just seems like it kind of interrupts my last word. It's like it's tired of me talking. You know, it's the news according to novels, and it butts in. It's kind of rude. Rude interrupting music, they call that. Intro music. That's what that is. Unlike my rude interrupting apple cider I'm drinking this morning. That's what's in my cup, because I'm sure you all know. I went into a little tirade yesterday about my meal plan for the day yesterday morning, talking about my meals. I realize that's probably not something that you guys all pay attention to, but you should care about. I realize you probably don't care about that. I apologize for going on and on about my eating habits. Something, some interesting developments in the world today. I'm going to try to talk about something other than COVID. So we'll see if I have a little time at the end, maybe to give you a little update on the COVID situation and what all is going on with that, some of my thoughts. But in the meantime, I'm going to talk about some of the more trivial issues that are happening to us here in our country today. By the way, this is the 246th episode of the podcast, and been going since shortly after the election of last year, I think is when I started doing this little thing, something like that. I'm not sure. Maybe it was before the election. I can't remember. I started doing this little podcast thing. And so for some of you, if you can't find those old episodes, just send me a message. Send me a note. You can message me through the... in the description of the podcast, there's a place where it shows you how you get in touch with me. You can also call in, send a message if you want to. But there's a way you can let me know. If you cannot find those episodes, I will send you a link to listen to some of those episodes. There were some of the more fun times. Rabbi Rick was joining us mostly, almost every day. And for a while there, soon after the election, we had a lot of frivolity, as well as news and what was going on in the world. Some good back episodes there if you want to have a chance to listen to some of those. We also... that's all I have to say about that. On Tuesday, October 26th, 2021, is today's date. Current time is 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I am still in Atlanta, and I will be as well tomorrow. On Wednesday morning, I will be traveling back to my home on Thursday. I'll be home for a few days, and I should be able to get my the podcast transmitted out for the next few days, especially tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, I know I can. Thursday morning might be a little bit more of a challenge. Might be a little bit later in the day by the time. I get the podcast out. It should be before noon, but it might be, you know, who knows? Depends on what the travel situation is like as I go back from Atlanta to Indiana. But some of the news that's making the news that I have an opinion on today. Just some interesting things that are going on. I haven't stayed up on some of this very well, and all I can tell you, in fact, the one thing that I keep seeing and I keep wanting to look into a little bit more, but I just don't. What is it? I just don't really care. I guess that's probably what it is, and I'm not happy about that. I should care more about what's going on in Sudan. Obviously, there's probably bloodshed there. The military has taken over. I understand there's been a military coup there. And I don't really understand what that's all about at this point. I don't believe that that their military situation is necessarily one that I would be very trusting of, to put it bluntly, I guess. So I don't know. I'm just not sure what all is happening there. All I know is that there's a military coup I need to look into that a little bit more and give you my opinion, because that's what you listen to this podcast for. You tune in here because you say, you know, you're like, Kevin, I don't know what to think about this. You need to tell me what I need to think about this. And of course, that's the opposite of what I want this podcast to be about. I'm hoping that I can give you some stimulating thought and help you learn how to think, if that makes sense. Not what to think, but how to think. How to think critically and how to, just think, do everything the opposite of the way I do it, and you'll probably come out pretty good in life. For those of you who watched the George Costanza episode of Do the Opposite, everything that you've done so far has gotten you to where you're at. So if you do the opposite of your natural inclination, maybe you'll be better off. It turns out to work out pretty well for him. But, of course, that's a comedy show. It's not real life. And I continue to get these. I have to apologize. I'm going to turn my ringer off because there's a group that I belong to that's interesting. A group here in this place where I work that I'm doing some work for for the next probably 6 months. And so I'm a part of this group, and we're talking. It's mostly about the COVID issue and mandates. It's a very anti-mandate group. And probably going to end up making national news at some point because it's a pretty solid group of people that it's going to have an effect on the national situation to some degree. Excuse me. And it's going to be interesting next couple weeks because the mandate comes out on December 8th for federal employees, as well as businesses that are over 100 people. Now, supposedly, this has not gone through yet, and the mandate has not been approved by the Office of Management and Budget. Now, the issue with Management and Budget right now, the OMB, is that there's no director for the OMB right now. I don't know that they've gotten around to submitting a guy to be approved by Congress, or if Congress just hasn't approved anybody yet. I don't know if there's anybody on the—I'm sure there's somebody on the list, but they just haven't gotten around to it yet. Probably nobody wants that job. That is actually a very right now. It is a very difficult. That would be a very difficult job to have because how you define some of this stuff that's coming out is going to be how it's going to affect a lot of people. And there's a lot of responsibility here that I don't think some people want to take now. For somebody like Merrick Garland, you drool for situations like that because then you have power, and you can release your radical agenda and take out your vindictive thoughts on people. Yeah, so we got Sudan. We have the Virginia election is really interesting in what's going on there. I think it's Youngkin and what's his name, the guy who's actually the governor now. That is a very, I'll say, a very blue state. Most of the state is not, but there are a couple of very high population pockets that are, and of course some of those are around the D.C. area, D.C. and Virginia. Are right next to each other there, and a lot of people who work and do most of their work in D.C. actually live in Virginia. So there's a lot of crazy radicals there on the one side. So the race now is neck and neck, according to the polls. Now polls will say one thing. I was having some pretty high hopes about. The California governorship, hoping that Newsom would get out of there, and it looked a little bit like I thought it looked as if his contender. I just have totally lost his name. I just listening to him this morning. I can't remember what his name. I've noticed as I get older, I'm having issues with little recall stuff like that. Hope that's not that's just a normal, natural thing. Sure it is. So that didn't turn out too well. So we'll see how this goes in Virginia. I'm not sure when the election is. I'm sure it's got to be coming up here. It's probably going to be in November, probably the first Tuesday in November, maybe. I don't know. So we'll find out how that all turns out. I know they have really poured on the coals, pouring a lot of money. Barack Obama came and campaigned for the present governor there. He's made some really stupid statements. He's pretty much a radical left guy. And I don't know. I think it's very telling. In fact, if they lose to this Republican contender, Youngkin, this is a bad sign. The more and more chance we hear, chance as in we hear chance, not C-H. A-N-C-E, but C-H-A-N-T-S, that had to do with Let's Go Brandon, apparently are breaking out all over the place, and people are pretty bold about this now. It's breaking out just about anywhere there's a congregation of people, ridiculously, and it's interesting to see that sentiment, and it's even from people who didn't vote for Trump. Are really fed up with this administration. People on both sides, the really radical people are kind of upset because he's not radical enough, even though he's extremely radical. Everybody thought Joe was going to be a centrist. We just needed to get through 4 years of Biden and then we could get on to something else. And I think they're finding out now that Biden is a puppet. He basically just has a group of people telling him what to say, what to do. And he's going right along with the agenda that they're pushing. And as I played yesterday, the interesting, he was saying, I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID. That's a very glib statement. It's also a very dangerous statement. And he's feeding this narrative. He just says whatever the teleprompter says to say. He's having a harder and harder time with that, as he's having more public exposure, he's having more, speaking at more events now. He's really muddling things up. If you listen to Sky News Australia, Sky News is, I think it originated in Britain. And Sky News itself from Europe is very, it's a lot more left-leaning. It goes along with the establishment in terms of just being politically correct and all the other stuff. Sky News Australia is a very different story. It amazes me that they even are affiliated, because they just literally they lay into it. They're very I would say conservative leaning in a true sense of the word. It's not. When you have commentators and news people on something like Fox News, it's considered a right-wing news station. In other words, they are actually a little bit more fair and balanced in terms of their rhetoric on both sides. However, most of the people on the right on Fox News, most of them, not all of them, are pretty much establishment people, big government Republicans. Sean Hannity, for instance. I like the guy. I appreciate who he is. I don't have anything personally against the guy. However, he'll make statements, and one of his big statements is he likes to say he's not a Republican. He's a registered conservative in New York. Now, that's great. That's good that he's distinguishing the difference between the two. However, it's also, and this is off on a topic I had not planned on going here at all, but it has to do with the Virginia governor's race. The news, for instance, he'll make a statement about how, you should have the right to carry a gun, but you should, he believes that you should be trained to carry the gun to have the gun, to be safe with the gun. You need training. That's not what the Constitution says, Sean. I'm sorry. You may think that, but then you need to change the Constitution. The Constitution makes no differentiation between those who are trained and untrained, and to what degree do you need to be trained, and who is going to give you. See, the right exists for you to keep, to own, and to bear or carry. So it shall not be infringed. In other words, there shall not be any infringement. No barriers. Nothing withholding you from being able to do that. That's the way the Constitution was intended. It doesn't say, for those who are well-trained, for those who have been given permission from the state. It is a right in our constitutional right, and it trumps all state rights. Now, states love to think they can take that right away from you and then sell it back to you in the form of a permit. Well, you can't carry in this state, can't carry concealed in this state unless you pay us a fee and fill out this form and we do a background check and then you can do it. And some states do require training. Some states you have to have training to carry a firearm. And that's, again, unconstitutional. Now, whether or not it's a good idea, responsible, yeah, sure, you can say all those things, but it is not constitutional. And until we change the Constitution, you cannot say that. Now, are there people out there who have firearms accidents and do stupid things with them? Absolutely. That, of course, leads me into my next topic. Alec Baldwin. I don't know what was going on with Alec. The information that I've received so far has been, it's been very shady and sketchy in terms of what was actually going on there. Excuse me. So I believe, from what I've understood, is that there was a group of individuals on this set. Now, I know something a little bit about movie sets. I've been on a couple movie sets. I have been around movie making a little tiny bit, very tiny, tiny bit. And I know some people who are in production and do those kinds of things. It's typically kind of a, it becomes kind of this family event. If the recording and they're doing all their takes and doing the whole thing. And typically a script kind of evolves over the process of the movie, making the movie. They work with the artists that they have, and they try to be creative in terms of giving some liberty to, at least a good director will be able to give some liberty to the characters and be able to allow for some color to be painted throughout that. Now, And in the process of doing all that, everybody's kind of working together. They're working on this intense project that kind of brings everybody together. They're kind of unified. There's arguments. It's like a big family argument type thing going on when that happens. Everybody's working towards a common goal. Everybody's usually happy to be there. They enjoy their work, typically. And it's just kind of a fun, exciting time. And, of course, you're doing, five or six takes of a particular scene, depending on how they do things. To get all the different camera angles that you need for editing, for the editors to do things with later. Of course, the audio then is all an issue as well later on. That's all an issue as well, how they capture that, what they do with it later. Those are the two things that are going on. And so I don't know exactly what the... of course, if Alec Baldwin was in this, it had to be a fairly high-budget movie. I think the name of the movie is called Rust. And apparently they were using a real gun that they were just putting blanks in. Now, there are guns that are specifically made as prop guns that only fire blanks. And they actually are restricted in the chamber where the gun, where the bullet is placed, that they do not allow for a bullet to actually put in there. Because most blanks are actually kind of like a cartridge without a little, on the end of a cartridge, it has a little lead projectile And that lead projectile is shot off from the cartridge and it goes through the barrel and it's through the process of expansion and all those things. It presses it out, it pushes it out the barrel and spins it out the end there, and there it goes. Fly be free kind of thing. Well, the certain, you know, the actual guns that are made to be prop guns are, they have a blank, there's like a little restrictor in there that keeps a real bullet from being put in there because the you can only put a blank cartridge in it. You'll see these a lot at, say, when they use the starting gun for a track event, for instance. And that shoots a blank. They'll shoot it up in the air. But that actually has a little, you know, even the barrel itself has a little cage, has a little blocker that will keep any kind of projectile, in case the casing itself comes apart or anything that happens, that will keep any kind of projectile from coming out of the barrel. You'll still get the flash at the end. And sometimes, what happens sometimes, even with prop guns, is that they overpack those with too much gunpowder, the cartridge itself, because they can make those cartridges, they can fill them with, they do a reload on them, they can fill them with as much gunpowder as they need to. Sometimes they'll do more just to get a bigger effect. Now, they don't do that as much anymore as they used to because they can do a lot of CGI, but if you want the actual flash from the gun, they'll pack it with more gunpowder. And this used to happen occasionally back in the day, and back when before they did a lot of CGI stuff. And so they would get that big flash out the end of the gun. Well, when you do that, you run the risk of causing the cartridge to come apart and or, you know, the gate that's inside the barrel to break free. I mean, it can only take some, they start, if it's used a lot, they can develop corrosion. All kinds of things can happen in there, and it can break loose, and that projectile can come out and go into you. And there's been people, you know, serious injuries from that kind of thing, even from a blank gun. And initially, when I heard the report that this happened, that's what I thought had happened. I thought maybe they overpacked a blank gun. Well, what they were doing is they were using a regular gun, and they were playing with it. This was out in New Mexico, I believe. They were playing with it between scenes, taking it out and shooting. All these anti-gun people were having fun shooting their gun out there playing with it. Well, it sounds like in the process of doing all of this that they accidentally left live rounds in the gun. Now, just a few days before this, I guess there was a group of people on set that walked off because of unsafe conditions. That's what they're saying, unsafe conditions. Now, I don't know whether that had to do with gun safety, COVID safety, camera mounting, lighting, whatever it was that they were doing that was unsafe. I don't know what it was. Now, of course, Alec is known to have a very sharp temper. Gets very emotional, he can become very, very animated, theatrical. He's an actor, you know, so he can do that stuff. I don't know what happened with this whole deal. I don't know if they were trying to film him shooting into the camera. They were trying to get a camera angle, and he was shooting at the camera. If he was just playing around, if he was mad and did something, it amazes me that he hit someone in a way directly with that gun. Even with a prop gun, you do not point the gun at anyone, period, unless you intend to do them harm. Someone behind the camera, you can see that person behind the camera. You still don't point the gun at them. And apparently that's what he did. So I think it was just a reckless event on his behalf, for his sake. I think he should be charged personally with manslaughter, simply, or at least negligence. You know, it's a wrongful death situation in any case. Horrible accident, and maybe he didn't intend to hurt anybody, but it's obviously, maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to scare somebody. Who knows what was going on there? I just don't know. And it's just been very sketchy in terms of what all happened there. But it's sad that he's got to go through that. I mean, or maybe it's going to be good for him. I don't know. It's just it's a horrible thing to have happen. The family of the deceased, got to feel bad for them, and as well as the other. I think the actual director of the movie was actually injured as well. The cinematographer was the one who was killed, and she was a young gal, probably just in the prime of her life, basically enjoying what she was doing, the opportunity she had to do what she was doing, and was struck down at that point. That's all I've got to say about that. The other issue I want to talk about, and this has been an ongoing thing, it just keeps getting worse, and now we're hearing about the mother of all caravans. We'll talk about the border, speaking of New Mexico. There's so much going on with this whole border situation. It's hard to know where to start with this. It's so overwhelming. It's almost unimaginable, and people don't even really. If it was just the border going on right now, we would be inundated with news about it because it's just continually. An atrocity continues to happen. They are now finding kids. I don't even know how to talk about this. They found a group of kids, young kids, under 18, most of them, living in an apartment that apparently had been abandoned. I'm not sure what happened to the people who were overseeing them. Now, they're moving these kids around all over the country. Apparently, some kids got lost in the cracks somewhere. Nobody was paying attention to them or checking on them. And these kids were abandoned in this apartment. Several of us, like, I don't know, half a dozen of them or so. One of the kids had passed away and had been a while. He had been deceased for some time, and he was there in the apartment where the kids were living. Right there with him. I haven't read the whole story on that. All I know is when I see it, every time I see a headline about it, every time I see the story, I cannot bear to know any more about it. It rips my heart out. What's going on the border, and I don't think we realize the victims that are involved in this thing. This is not compassion. This is not humanitarian, what's happening down there. It's horrible, the way people are being treated. And it's all because this administration is inviting people and welcoming them here, basically telling them that the border's wide open. They're all coming across saying, yes, we can. And now there is what's called the mother of all caravans that they're trying to get started. They're hoping to have 100,000 people hit the border in the next few months. It's wintertime. This is when the desert isn't as hot. It gets to be a bigger deal. So they try to make their move now. Some estimates say that they're going to have at least 60,000 people. At any rate, it's going to be 40,000 to 60,000 people, possibly more. Now, I talked to one pilot who was on his way down to the border to fly people around. He said most of them are not physically well. He said every time the he's talked to a lot of different pilot groups that have been flying, he said every time a pilot group flies, every time a crew flies, these refugees, these illegal immigrants, they get sick. Within a day or two, they're sick. Just a lot of disease is coming across the border, and it's not being contained, it's not being controlled. We don't know what it is. We're now seeing the hospitals now being kind of overwhelmed, not with COVID necessarily, but with all kinds of other respiratory issues. There's something called ADE that I'll talk about more on another show, but that could be potentially happening. And what that has to do with is the vaccination rate. As the vaccination rate increases, as more and more people are vaccinated, the effect that the virus has, and this is the reason they're pushing the boosters now, because the vaccine does not do what natural immunity does. And there's some effort now by some legislators now to recognize natural immunity. The director of the CDC was being questioned the other day and was basically reluctantly, like, had to pry it out of him that the, or her, whoever it was, that the that natural immunity is actually better, or as good or better than a vaccine. And they don't, they're not even making really any effort to study whether or not it is or not. They just, get yourself vaccinated. Just got to be vaccinated. That's what the push is. Got to have the jab. Every man, woman, and child needs to be vaccinated 100%. And then we can put this behind us and be normal. No, it's not going to be normal. Obviously, it's not going to be normal. If you have to continue to take boosters, and then another booster. I guess Israel now is on their fourth booster shot, or their fourth shot. I said, you know, the first two originals, the third one, which is a booster, and the fourth one, which is another booster. How long is this going to last? Now we're talking about, Biden's talking about air travel into this country. You have to be vaccinated. Even U.S. citizens who come back in the country, once they've been outside the country, they come back in, there's stiffer mandates. You have to be vaccinated. There's no exemptions. I was planning a trip. I'm still planning a trip, actually, down to the islands in April. And I have not bought a ticket yet. My wife has bought a ticket. I wasn't going to buy a ticket because I was just going to wait, see what happened for sure. I have other means, other ways of getting down there. So I may not have to buy a ticket to do so. So I was kind of holding off on that part. And now it looks like if I go down there, I may not be able to get back, depending on what they do with all the restrictions and stuff. So I'm putting myself in this situation. It's about 6 months away, not knowing what's going to happen by then. Restrictions may be lifted and erased. Restrictions may be worse. So it all, I'm going down there. If I can get out of the country, I will go down there. If they'll let me in. And then if they won't let me back in here, I'll just stay down there. That's the way it's going to work. I'll come back, you know, a year or two with a nice tan. That's my plan. I'll take, make sure I take my recording equipment with me. Because, you know, this is a podcast. I have to keep this podcast going. People depend on this. They have to know what the news is, according to me. So that's what's happening right now. Now, there are some groups organizing. The more intense this gets, there are some legal actions taken. Of course, now, lawyers, there's a lot of shady lawyers out there that, of course, they're in it for the money. They'll take your money. They'll take your retainer. You'll never hear from them again, or they'll act like they're trying to do something. They'll put out a report. You know, they'll file an injunction. They'll do whatever. They'll file the paperwork, and then they'll say, well, okay, this is what I did for you. Now they'll send you a bill for $1,000. And it's, you know, you get, you know, 500,000 people to pay you that. You're making out like a bandit. They're hoping to get a cash cow out of this. They don't care about you. They're looking at the money they can make situation. There are other lawyers who are doing things pro bono, and those are the guys I trust more than anybody. However, they have a harder time staying motivated because they're not making anything on this. The way things are going, it is looking more and more grim in terms of the way the administration. I think the administration right now has the upper hand. They've got the ball in their court, literally, and they have the court basically in their pocket. I don't think I would count on the Supreme Court right now to make a proper ruling on any of this. They are too motivated by the headlines. We don't want to cause riots. We don't want to change an election. We don't want to affect this. We don't want to override Roe v. Wade. We don't want to see this because there's no standing. We don't want to make waves. You're cowards. That's what you are. That's what that is. Now, either that or, well, you're a coward. And even if you're compromised, even if somebody has dirt on you and they're controlling you, you're still a coward because you're not standing up to those people. You're letting someone else manipulate you. And I believe that's what's happening. Drudge Roberts, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. I have no evidence to support this, but it just looks like a compromised individual to me, in the way he makes decisions, what he says. I'm very disappointed in him. The rest of the court, who knows? I mean, Clarence Thomas, I think, is probably and Alito, probably the two that I trust the most. There's probably one or two there that can be trusted as well. But those are the two the only two I really trust. They understand what's going on. They see what's happening with this country and understand what the principles are that are being eroded for the sake of political correctness. And I think that's where we are right now. So it'll be interesting to see whether there's any kind of recourse legally anywhere with any of this, just because it's been so politically hyped up. The other side of this thing is that there's so much going on with regard to the hype and the rhetoric, and I've talked about this before. That this tendency to think that, well, if you're, and here just the logic. Let's just go to the logic of this whole thing, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. Vaccinated people are saying that if you're unvaccinated, you're a danger. Who am I a danger to? Other unvaccinated people? If you're vaccinated, why are you afraid of the unvaccinated? If you have the vaccine, then aren't you protected? That logic doesn't seem to pan out with people. I don't understand that. So it's been a very troubling critical thinking issue with our country right now. That's why I call it hysteria that's going on, the mass hysteria that's going on. So I shall conclude this show since my time is up. I hear the music playing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for responding. Thank you for sharing this podcast. I noticed that the listenership is up again because I've been doing more regular shows, so that's encouraging. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. Take care.